coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the All Share up close enough to 1.2% today. As you can see, they're largely bolstered by the Industrial 25 space. It trading 1.25% higher. Financial 15 not far behind, 1.2% to the good. And the Resources 10 component gaining close enough to 1%. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Caroline Kremen from AdviceWorks. Thanks so much, Caroline, for joining us today. So it is a very volatile picture, and I guess to be expected, where you've got sentiment hinging on something that is still very fluid at this stage of the game, and that being the U.S. Sino trade talks.
Correct. And you feel like every other week there is a different market reaction to something that's happening. You know, when they're not talking, the market goes down. When it looks like they're going to talk, the market goes up. While they're talking, the market goes down because they're not talking enough. So I think, but probably a bit premature. China was up 3%. We'll see how long that lasts.
Okay, let's take a look then at the quality of the gain we've seen on the JSC side today, because world markets, you know, pretty much flat and a mixed picture that we're looking. Of course, we've got the U.S. markets closed on account of a holiday on that end, but pretty robust performance being put on by the JSC. And interestingly enough, financials having to do a lot with it, where there's still a lot of question marks around where we're heading in terms of our economic growth story.
Look, I think from an economic growth point of view, it still looks very dire, but I've always had the opinion that South Africa is very oversold. So the quality of the growth, yes, or the improvement, I think that we can improve a lot more. But unfortunately, we are being held hostage to global whims at this stage. So even if we've got a fantastic budget, we're still going to see that volatility.
Where are your expectations sitting as far as that budget presentation is concerned this week?
Look, they're not great. I don't think that they're going to be able to do enough. You know, what we really do need are policy changes, and those policy changes should have come out of the State of the Nation address. So the impact that the budget is going to have for me is probably going to be limited.
Mm-hmm. Amidst it all, we have a few companies starting to filter through with their company earnings. And today, Amplat standing in the spotlight. Shareholders quite happy with what they've managed to deliver to them, and increasing that dividend policy from 30 to 40% of headline earnings. Your view on Amplat right now?
Well, I'm quite impressed. You know, a few years ago, I was almost ready to write them off. They had an increase of 5 billion rand in profit. They're sitting 3 billion rand in cash. Now, a lot of that was just really the market worked with them, the rand worked with them, the palladium prices worked with them. But also, there's been some very smart restructuring from the company. You know, they've moved out of some of the very problematic joint ventures that they had. They've sold off the very deep level expensive mines that they've had, and they've moved more towards mechanization.
And shallow mining.
And they seem to think that that is a very cash generative position to be in. It probably is. If you look at Impala, by contrast, I think there's still a couple of things overshadowing them. They do mention it in their results. You know, they're very happy with the new mining charter, but, you know, you can read between the lines, it doesn't quite go far enough. There's still uncertainty there. And they even talk about dire consequences, unforeseen consequences, if it's implemented in the status and at this point.
Absolutely. That one risk, the other risk being Eskom, which already saw 14,000 ounces of platinum production out the system last week alone. So within that risk scenario, what is particularly interesting is the kind of investment this producer or supplier of PGMs to the market is making on the demand side of things, generating demand and showing where their product is actually needed. It's become quite a strong focus for the company.
Yes, it has. And, you know, I think that all the commodity producers have realized you can't just sit around and bring stuff out of the ground. You've actually got to do something with it. So on the palladium and rhodium side, I think it's about 70% is actually used for auto catalysts, slightly less so for platinum. Jewelry, ironically, larger for larger requirement for platinum, and on the industrial side. So, you know, auto catalysts, you know, that they go as far as your environmental regulation goes. It also goes as far as the economy goes, you know, because people don't buy a lot of cars if the economies are slow. So it's a wise decision for them to actively do that, and it's also a very good political decision in South Africa to try to have the beneficiation here in South Africa.
Absolutely.
To a great extent.
Well, it's another company that has gone down that avenue, it seems, Adcock Ingram. Mm-hmm. It's highlighted how its investment in local manufacturing facilities has paid off. We've heard today that it will supply 12% of ARVs to state hospitals, and that over the next 3 years. Adcock Ingram was a dog. Where is it at this stage of the game?
This is another company I also just really wrote off a few years ago. And since Bidvest got involved, you know, we thought that Bidvest would do their magic there. Adcock management might not feel it's all Bidvest, but I think they've certainly added to that. And it's just really, really nice for them to actually see. We do need another medical player on the exchange.
Okay, so, and is Adcock Ingram one that you'll be delving into just yet, or are you still steering clear, waiting for more to filter through?
I think the problem for me, it's not particularly liquid. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, Bidvest may be divesting of some of its non-core holdings. So now that they've turned Adcock around, possibly Adcock is one of them, then it's going to be very attractive.
Okay, so potential that's sitting on that horizon. EOH, though, moving in the opposite direction. We have that share price falling back a further 22% at the start of today's trading session, 10.4% lower by the finish. And again, it's this cloud over just the way it does business. And I guess the relationship with Microsoft now heading to court is another nail in the coffin.
Look, and I do think that these incidents, whatever they were, really did predate Stephen Francolo. So I have a great deal of sympathy, and I've got a lot of respect for him. But Microsoft is really between a rock and a hard place. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in the U.S. is very stringent, and they can't afford reputationally to be even on the wrong side of a story, even if the story doesn't, you know, involve them. So I can't see that there's going to be a particularly happy outcome for EOH for this, because EOH is such a small amount of Microsoft's business. You know, they might decide to just forego it, pay whatever penalty there is, just to avoid the bad press.
Okay. What's your stock pick at the moment, Caroline?
I'm going to sit in cash until the budget. I know it's a safe place to be, but I think the budget cannot surprise us on the upside. It can only surprise us on the downside.
Okay, well, we wait with bated breath for Wednesday, of course, when Finance Minister Tito Mboweni takes to the podium delivering his budget address for this year. Caroline, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening. Caroline Kremen is with AdviceWorks. Well, in the past week, the rand emerged as the worst performing emerging market currency. That's as electricity crisis and a far worse than expected December retail number weighed on the local unit. This has further translated into the rand tumbling over the 14 mark. And we're joined on the line now by Jameel Ahmed from FXTM as we go through the activity playing out on that scene ahead of a budget, which is, of course, being delivered this Wednesday. Jameel, thanks so much for joining us on the line this evening. So we had the rand this morning holding pretty steady above 14 to the dollar. Some traders using the slide to two-month lows as an apt opportunity to buy cheap. We see by the end of the session that unit seeing weakness creep through. What are you making of current valuations?
I do think it's attractive for those who like emerging markets, which are really underbought right now. But the problem is with the South African rand is that you've got this budget statement that's due in just 2 days' time, and we're looking at the risk that the narrative will carry through that, you know, authorities still see a lot of risk for emerging markets, a lot of global headwinds that could impact the South African economy. Obviously, we're still seeing no good news when it comes to the ongoing U.S.-China trade negotiations, which is why we're not seeing that big moves in financial markets when it comes to improved risk appetite. And there's a lot of caution because until these really serious global financial market issues are really resolved, there's still a lot of risk towards taking on emerging markets. So yes, the current valuations do look attractive for those who like to buy stocks or buy emerging markets cheap, but there's still a lot of uncertainty in the global economy and global markets, which is then a bit of a pull lower towards why investors should stay on guard and perhaps not buy emerging markets until they're confident U.S.-China trade tensions or other global issues are going to have a positive outcome.
Jamil, let's hone in then on the local risk, and you've touched on it there. It's the budget address that comes to the fore this week. We've had Eskom, many say, putting a credit rating downgrade to junk back on the radar screen. Do you see, or where are your confidence levels, I guess, sitting when it comes to the finance minister being able to win favor with his budget presentation this week?
Yes, so the Eskom news, that's really a domestic news headline, and I think it's quite fatigued when it comes to what impact it really had on the rand last week, because there was a lot of other things that were going on as well. But when it comes to the budget statement, we're looking for the risks to be sustained, that the narrative will carry through, that authorities and even the finance minister still see a lot of risk around for the global economy, which could impact emerging markets, South African rand as well. And if that narrative really carries through once again this coming week, then the risk for the South African rand are still maintained. It's possible that growth downgrades will be on the cards, or it's possible that any other global market circumstances that remain uncertain could really hone in on what impact this could have on South Africa. And that's why we still see some muted volume in the rand, and we don't see the currency moving that much today. Perhaps that theme will carry into Wednesday as well.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the trading range that you've pegged out, what are we looking at? I picked up some commentary from the Central Energy Fund saying, on their trend graph for the rand dollar, it shows a steady climb pointing to a much weaker position than it is right now. What's your trading band looking like?
I actually do see the potential for the rand to improve given a potential positive outcome from the trade negotiations with China and the United States, and also what's likely to be a very downbeat Federal Reserve FOMC minutes this coming Wednesday, because if they provide no confidence to the view that they could raise interest rates in the United States later this year, this is seen as a big risk for the U.S. dollar. We've seen it slide low over the last couple of sessions. So this is why I still see the rand regaining its momentum, which it saw in January. So I'm probably looking between that 14 level, and it could go as low as 12. I do see the risks for the rand to strengthen as well, as much as we see some risk for the economy with the budget statement.
Let's leave it there, Jamil. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, Jamil Ahmed is with FXTM. So that's some of what's been playing out locally. In the meantime, Chinese and American officials both have reported progress from the 5 days of trade negotiations last week, committing to further meetings in Washington this week. We get an update on those talks straight after the break, so stay tuned. Welcome back. You're watching Taking Stock. Well, with the March the 1st deadline fast approaching, U.S. and Chinese officials are set to resume negotiations today in an attempt to prevent an escalation of a trade dispute that may have major implications for the global economy. Let's cross over to Bronwyn now for more analysis on some of the interpretation of what's been playing out on the global scene. Bronwyn.
Thanks, Alicia. Well, after months of jitters and back and forth, it seems the U.S.-China trade dispute is ending. Talks between the two nations resume in Washington today, and this follows negotiations in Beijing last week, where both parties reported progress. But is it too soon to hope that this chapter in market history is drawing to a close? Let's cross to Daniel Koop from Deutsche Welle for some perspective on the matter. Daniel, thanks so much for your time today. So the volatility in the market over the past little while showing just how uncertain traders are about the likely outcome between the US and China. So what are you hearing from market participants there behind you on the trading floor?
Yeah, you're right, Bronwyn. When we talk about the last weeks and months, the trade dispute, and I would even call it trade war between Washington and Beijing was certainly the most dominating topic here at the market, you know, beside Brexit, of course, and also the German economy slowing a little bit down. So investors are hopeful that these talks could be at the end really be a success, and this would be a huge relief certainly for investors as well, because all of this was really overshadowing here the market activity lately. And we have to remember that U.S. President Donald Trump was always talking about March 1st as a deadline to implement even more tariffs worth more than $250 billion for Chinese products. And it seems now that this deadline most likely won't be reached, and that those talks are going to continue. So yeah, you can feel some optimism here among traders on the trading floor.
So that deadline a little bit uncertain, but even if the US and China does come to some agreement, it doesn't solve all the trade-related problems, because US President Donald Trump could still implement tariffs on German cars. It's been in the offing for a while now, but recent reports are suggesting that US trade officials have advised Trump that European car imports can harm American national security, and this would be a convenient way for Trump to justify the tariffs. So what kind of reaction have we seen to this news, Daniel?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to sound optimistic that, you know, first, maybe we won't have to worry about the trade conflict between the United States and China. But yes, the trade conflict between the U.S. and the German automobile industry, that is most likely set to continue. We have to remember that Donald Trump has been saying for a long time that he doesn't understand why there are so many American cars, no, rather German or European cars on American roads, and rather no American cars here on European roads, and that he has been considering all of this as very unfair, even as a threat to the national security of the United States. When we talk about the history, first there was this discussion about possible tariffs for steel and aluminium. Already that was making investors quite concerned. But when you talk about the automobile industry, this could be a really big problem, because we have to remember Germany is a very export-oriented country on the one hand, and the automobile industry is really one of the big pillars of the German economy. So with tariffs worth more than 20 or 25%, this could bring car makers here really in trouble. As a result, when we take a look at the blue chip index, that's the shares of the big car makers, BMW, Volkswagen, Daimler, all in the red today. The blue chip index DAX also as a result of that in the red. And also, and that's very interesting, even the car lobby in the United States is now saying, well, is this really a good idea with tariffs on these cars? Because let's talk, for example, about BMW. Their biggest production facility is not even anymore here in Germany. It is based in the U.S., in the state of South Carolina. So with higher tariffs and people maybe buying less or fewer German cars, those jobs in the United States there could be at risk. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting how all of this is going to unfold.
Okay, so trade certainly on the agenda for us to keep an eye on this week. Looking ahead though, what else should we be looking out for?
We will have lots of data to talk about. There are so much data coming in this week. We're going to get numbers, for example, from Fresenius, from Lloyd's in the United Kingdom, also Barclays. They are opening their book. Then we'll be getting more information about the inflation rate here for the Eurozone. That's certainly going to be very interesting. And also the business climate index for Germany will be released. So yeah, lots of data to talk about. And yes, we'll have to monitor how this is going to continue, the talks between the United States and China. You mentioned it, talks are going to continue today and also in the next days.
A lot to keep you and I busy this week, but let's leave it there for now. Daniel Koop is from Deutsche Welle, and that's a wrap of your international news headlines. Alicia, it's back to you.
Thanks, Bronwyn, and that's where I leave things with you for this hour. Stay tuned, though, for Tomorrow Today, coming up straight after the break. And I'll see you back at 7 o'clock with your full news bulletin. What's your stock pick at the moment, Caroline?
I'm going to sit in cash until the budget. I know it's a safe place to be.
It's a safe place to be.
But I think the budget cannot surprise us on the upside. It can only surprise us on the downside.
Okay, well, we wait with bated breath for Wednesday, of course, when Finance Minister Tito Mboweni takes to the podium delivering his budget address for this year. Caroline, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening. Caroline Kremen is with AdviceWorks.